Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you. It's a beautiful day. It may be cold, but it's Maine and it's winter. So we should expect days like this. It's why we live here, right? Okay. I'd like to point us this morning to a particular section of God's Word. I think that is hope will be helpful to us to consider today. It's from the book of 2 Peter, somewhat near the end of the New Testament, 2 Peter. And I'm going to read from the first chapter through about verse 15 or so. 2 Peter 1, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them, and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. Lord, we have read your word. May your Holy Spirit now teach us from your word. Open our minds and hearts so that we might receive that which you have for us today. I pray, Lord, that we would be in tune with your spirit in these moments, that you would keep distractions aside, and you would allow us to hear, consider, and then to apply your word, however you would lead us to do so. So speak to us in these moments, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. In 1988, I moved to Hollis, the town of Hollis here in Maine. I assumed the pastor at a Pleasant Hill Free Baptist Church there, and the church had a parsonage, really nice parsonage, sort of kitty corner across the road, relatively new. I think I was maybe the second pastor to have lived in it after it was built. Really nice place. Really enjoyed living there. Just outside of the door, as you were to go into the house, there was a lilac bush. I happen to like lilacs. I don't know if anybody else does, but I like them. I like the way they smell. I like the way they look. in our present property that we own, we have some purple lilacs, and I just think those are just beautiful. Well, this lilac bush had the kind of pink color. But anyway, that first spring I was there, it produced three blossoms. It was pretty small. That was good. And they were beautiful blossoms, and I liked seeing them. I liked being able to smell them. And I look forward to seeing this bush grow and how many blossoms it might produce in the years ahead. Next spring, three blossoms. Same as the year before. Next spring, guess.
Three
blossoms. Right. Next spring, you want to take a guess? Three blossoms. And then we moved away from there, not because of that, but because of another call to another church. But the whole time we lived there, it never produced more than three blossoms. Now, those blossoms were nice. They were nice to look at, nice to smell, but it seemed to me like, you know, the bush really wasn't doing its job. You know what I mean? I mean, that bush was supposed to grow and was supposed to produce more, and it never did. I'm almost curious, as I'm telling you this story now, to take a drive by there this spring and see if it's still just three blossoms. Three blossoms are great. It's better than no blossoms at all. But lilacs exist to produce blossoms. That's sort of their whole purpose. And it wasn't growing, wasn't producing more. And I realized, after a fashion, that lilac bush was a perfect illustration of what I see in many Christians' lives. There are many Christians I have met through the years who I would call three blossom Christians. They have a certain degree of growth and productivity in their lives, but they never seem to get beyond it. God saves us, He plants us, and then He begins a process in us where He wishes us to grow. To grow in our knowledge of God, to grow in our walk with God, to grow in our intimacy with God, and to produce fruit of righteousness, fruit of reproduction in terms of other Christians. People see God in us. That's all the kind of fruit that serving Him that He expects. He expects that we go forward and through our lives keep growing and keep producing. There are some people who start off on the journey of faith when they come to Christ, and they do exactly that. They continue to grow through their lives. They continue to become more fruitful for the cause of Christ. And it's wonderful to see. There are some people who begin their journey with Christ and, for whatever reason, get sidetracked or derailed. And their spiritual life starts to atrophy and sometimes even dies. And there's this third group. And those are the people who come to Christ, begin their journey with Christ, and they grow a certain amount. And then it just seems to stop there for any number of reasons. In other words, they remain three blossom people, never really continuing on and going further than that in their lives. The Bible is very clear. Over and over and over it states that we are to grow. in our walk with God, in our knowledge of God. We are to be fruitful and ever more fruitful as we go on in our lives. God expects us to accomplish His purpose for us in our lives. God's intent and desire and expectation for us is that we don't remain stagnant, or we don't plateau, but that we keep going forward. We keep getting closer to Him. Keep on serving Him more, being more fruitful. The Christian faith is more than just simply obtaining a ticket to heaven. Though it is that. Praise God for that. And the Christian life is more than just being able to be the recipient of God's blessings, although it is that. When we come to Jesus Christ, we do have our entrance to heaven, and we do place ourselves in a position where God can richly bless us in our lives. And those are good things. We enjoy those. But that's not the sum total of it. The Christian life is a life to be lived. It's a journey to be taken. A transformation of our lives that takes place over time in the here and now. If we're at the same level spiritually as we were a while ago, then something's not right. If we can say, well, I really haven't grown all that much in my faith, then something is wrong. We need to be, and God wants us to be, more than perpetual three blossom people, but to continue to grow, to keep on growing, producing. Now, there are many passages in the scriptures that I could turn us to kind of see how that plays out. But I've chosen to look this morning at this passage in 2 Peter that we just read. I chose it because, well, it's one of my favorites. But more than that, I chose it because I think it's easy to understand. It's very plain. It makes the point beautifully. And when we read it, it's confrontational in the sense that we are confronted with what is said here. And we need to read these words and consider them and then ask, is God trying to say something to me? Of course, we should do that whenever we read the scriptures, but specifically in this passage. And as I looked at this passage and have over the years, I've noticed that there is sort of an equation that God presents through this passage. I call it the growth equation. How does spiritual growth take place in a person's life? There are three components to this equation. The first component is God's part, God's role in our growth. I heard many years ago a story. I'm sure it's fictional, but it's a good story. It makes a point. But a man who in his backyard had a very large rock. We might call it a boulder. And he wanted it moved out from where it was to the perimeter of his yard. It was in the way of whatever he wanted to do. And so he asked his son to go and move it for him. And the son went out, and he pushed on it, and he tugged it, and he tried to go every which way, and he couldn't budge it. And the son got very discouraged, and he came in. He said, I'm sorry, Dad. He said, I can't move that boulder. And the dad says, well, have you done everything you can do? Says, I've used all my strength, Dad. I can't do it. That isn't what I asked. Have you done everything that you can do? And the boy said, well, I guess I could go out in the shed and see if maybe there's something out there I could use to kind of help. So he goes out to the shed, and he finds a shovel, and he digs around the rock and tries to make it gradual so he could roll the rock in a certain direction. He tried. He still didn't work. So he came back into the father. He says, I'm sorry. He says, I used the shovel and everything, and I just can't move it. And the father said, well, have you used everything at your disposal? The boy thought, he said, well, I don't know. I'll go back and look in the shed, see if there's something else I can use. He goes back in the shed, finds a big pry bar, and finds a way to put a fulcrum underneath it, and he's trying to move it that way. And he does a little better, but it really doesn't still move. So finally, the boy's very discouraged, and he comes in to see his father. He said, I'm sorry. I can't do it. Father said, did you use everything at your disposal, all your resources? He says, yeah, Dad, I have. And the dad said, no, you haven't. Boy said, what do you mean? And the father said, you didn't ask me to help. When it comes to spiritual growth, are we trying to do it on our own? Or do we ask the Father's help? In this passage, we read in verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Verse 4, He has given us His very great and precious promises. Spiritual growth is only made possible because God makes it possible. And according to these verses, He has given to us everything we need in order to be what He wants us to be. God never meant for our life in Him to be a DIY, do it yourself. That God never says that. His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life. He's given us His very great and precious promises. He provides the raw material. He provides the instruction. He provides the guidance. He provides the strength through the Holy Spirit. He provides all the necessities for us to live a life that is constantly growing and producing fruit. He recreates us. He gives us His own Spirit. He intervenes intentionally in our lives, supernaturally. He gives us His Word so that we know exactly what He expects of us. He gives us prayer so we can connect with Him. You might want to call prayer a 24-hour helpline because that's exactly what it is. And He gives that privilege to us. He gives us a community of believers to belong to where we can help one another in this process of growing and producing. He's given us, according to Peter, everything we need for a godly life. And Peter adds, He's given us great and precious promises. So if we're not growing, if we're not producing, folks, we cannot blame God because He's given us everything. He's given us all the tools. He's given us all the resources. Do we avail ourselves of them? Do we use them? That's the question. His resources are constantly available. They're unchanging. They're effective. They do the job. And He offers them to us. Are we trying to push the boulder with just our own strength or with other instruments? the boulder of spiritual growth? Or do we say to the Father, I need your help? Because this verse and others tell me that he'll say, sure, I was waiting for you to ask. So that's God's part in the growth equation. He provides everything that is needed for us to grow. The second thing Peter says is that there is our part or our role. There's something we must do. And what is that? In verse 5 and verse 10, he says, make every effort. And then you notice that list where he says, add to your faith goodness, goodness, knowledge, knowledge, self-control, and through that list, add to, add to, add to. In other words, spiritual growth, spiritual productivity does not happen magically by itself. And I don't see that God forces it on us either. We need to cooperate with God in what he wants to do in our lives. We have to do, as Peter says, make every effort and add to our faith. Constantly add to our faith. We need to be active participants in our spiritual maturation. No, we don't do it ourselves alone. We do it in cooperation with God, who has given us everything we need. But still, we have to be the ones to actually do that. It takes intentionality, desiring it enough to do what it requires, to give it more than just lip service. And say, well, it would be nice if I was growing in the Lord more than I am. Well, God says, yeah, I think it would be nice too. In fact, I want you to. And I'll provide everything you need, but you got to do something too. We need to ask ourselves, how important is it to us? Where on our personal priority scale is spiritual growth in Christ and being productive in his service? The great author A.W. Tozer said this: God will respond to our efforts. It is altogether a matter of how much determination we bring to this holy task. How much determination are we bringing? It's a fair question. What are you doing in order to work with God in becoming more mature every day spiritually, closer to him, more productive in service? There's God's part in this equation. There's our part. And then the third part of this three-part equation is the result. So if God does his part and we do our part, what can we expect? Well, in verse 8 of this passage, it says, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, you will never stumble. Verse 11 says, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a great result, isn't it? Keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of Christ. Never stumble. Receive a rich welcome into God's kingdom. I'll sign up for that. That sounds like a good deal. It's a simple equation. God's provision plus our activity and our cooperation with him result in spiritual growth. None of us wants to be ineffective, I don't think. None of us want to be unproductive. None of us enjoy stumbling. And we all want to experience a rich welcome. We want to be those things. The church needs us to be that. And though it doesn't realize it all the time, the world needs us to be those kinds of believers. The world needs to see that we're serious about this. And that when Jesus Christ comes into a person's life, amazing things happen. Amazing growth takes place. The joy and the peace and the love and all of the other things that come to us are evident in our lives, so that the world looks at us and says, I could use some of that. I'd like to be that way. Keep you from being ineffective, unproductive. Keep you from stumbling. Receive a rich welcome. God wants all those things too for us. In fact, he expects us. So, all that being said, the big question is, so what do we do with all that information? What are the practices and what are the disciplines that will help to make that a reality in our lives? The next few weeks, I'll be looking at some of those things individually on Sunday mornings. Each Sunday, we'll consider one. But basically, I can just tell you this right now. We just need to incorporate Nike's slogan. Just do it. Well, I'm not sure how. Well, find out how. Ask God for help. Ask people that you look up to as to their spiritual life. You know, what do you do? Take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to you to grow. Just do it. We're about 1 month out now from, believe it or not, Ash Wednesday and Lent. Comes kind of early this year. In fact, Ash Wednesday is the same day as Valentine's Day this year. I think that's kind of interesting. A day given over to love. I mean, what greater love was there than what Christ taking our sins upon himself? But nevertheless, Lent comes up, and I don't know how you feel about Lent. Maybe it's just a word. Maybe it's important to you. Maybe it isn't. But as I've gone through my life, I have found it to be significant. As a time in the year when I especially give a little added boost to my efforts to grow in the Lord. More than just simply, well, I'm going to deny myself some pleasure for 7 weeks. I want to suggest to you that you even now start thinking about that. What will Lent be for you this year? It's going to be just a way of counting down to Easter? Or will it be a time when you really do some serious business with God? This morning, I would just have you start by pondering this question. You're probably all familiar with the Great Commandment, as it's often called. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And you remember what he said? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Great Commandment. Ask yourself this question. How are you doing at that? Loving God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving your neighbor as yourself. As you look back on your life, even recently, Do you see that you're growing in those areas? Do you see that it's becoming more natural for you to do that? Or are you still at three blossoms when it comes to His great commandment? Are we growing? Are we more productive? I just want to encourage you to never get complacent, to never get satisfied with where you are in your spiritual life, but always desire more, always seek to go higher. Be like the Apostle Paul. He wrote in Philippians 3 these words. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then he adds, let those of us who are mature think this way. I press on. I'm not satisfied, Paul says. Paul says that. The great missionary, the great apostle, the one whose words we read in the scriptures. If Paul says, I'm not there already, then what's that say about me? If Paul says, I need to press on, then what does that say to my need to press on? Let those of us who are mature think this way. Let us never be complacent or self-satisfied. But let us realize the equation. God's resources, our actions, and wonderful results. Let's pray. Forgive us, Lord, for any spirit of self-satisfaction in us when it comes to our spiritual life. Forgive us if we've ever thought that, well, we know enough, we've come far enough. Give us a hunger, Lord. Give us a thirst to go forward, to know you more, to serve you more, to love you more, to praise you more. Help us, Lord, to not just remain where we are. Help us to become more than three blossom people. And may the blossoms increase and produce. Thank you, Lord. Help us in this challenge. In Christ's name, amen. Our final